Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. The message you are about to listen to comes from a series entitled, Come Out with Your Hands in the Air, from the book of Philippians. It's talking about praising God through whatever situation we go through. And whatever we're going through, we can come out rejoicing with our hands in the air. I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles to the book of Philippians and join us for the message.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the start of a new series titled, Come Out with Your Hands in the Air, which is based on the book of Philippians. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Introduction to the Book of Philippians.
The title of the series that we are about to embark on is a unique title, and I've titled this series, Come Out with Your Hands Up in the Air. And as we think about what it is that God would have us to get from the message, you remember the old cowboy movies when the good guys would have the place surrounded. And they would make a statement to the effect that we've got you surrounded. Come out with your hands in the air. And I just want to let you know that whenever you run into life situations and you find yourself in circumstances that are beyond your control, when you're dealing with issues that cause you to be discouraged and frustrated, God says to us, come out with your hands up in the air. That whenever you come out of that situation, you ought to come out praising him. That whenever you come out of that situation, oh, y'all didn't get it on this side. Let me try it over here. Amen. Whenever you come out of that situation, Amen. You ought to come out with some praise in your heart. Amen. Whenever you come out of that situation, you ought to come out rejoicing. Amen. Come out with your hands up in the air. Amen. You know, the book of Philippians is a book about joy. The theme of this book is the joy of a Christ-centered life, that when your life is centered around Jesus Christ, that you ought to have some joy in your life. 16 times in this book, 16 times in the book, the Apostle Paul refers to the word joy or rejoicing. See, when you come to the book of Philippians, what God is trying to say, whatever you're going through, when you come out with your hands in the air. Now, this book does present some problems. And one of the problems that it presents is what I call even a problem for me. Because you see, sometimes when I come to church, and especially if I go to another church and worship, because we don't do it as much here, but sometimes when I go to church and worship, and I'm exhorted to turn to my neighbor and give an exhortation, many times I don't want to turn to my neighbor and say anything. Many times, I had a hard enough time maybe just getting there. And now you want me to turn and give him a word of exhortation? See, sometimes, I went to revival a couple weeks ago. I mean, I just was feeling a little low, and I just wanted to be encouraged. And, you know, I didn't want to turn to anybody and tell them anything. I didn't want to turn to this person. Matter of fact, I just want to look straight ahead. That's all I wanted to do, and I hope nobody turned to me and said anything. But you know what? As we come to the book of Philippians, we are challenged. And the book of Philippians challenges us because it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So we have no choice in this matter, that we are challenged in the area of praise, that we are challenged in the fact that we ought to have joy in our heart. And we've all heard it said before, the joy that we have in Jesus Christ, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. And this is the joy that Paul expresses in the book of Philippians. And as you sit there right now, do you have joy in your heart? Maybe you have come through some terrible circumstances in your life, but do you have joy in your life? You see, joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Because if joy is dependent upon our circumstances, many of us would never have joy in our life. Because it seems like our circumstances are just one trial after the next, after the next. You know, just about, and some of you know this, but just about as all the stuff that I've been dealing with this year, and just about the time I thought it could get no worse, Friday evening, my granddaughter was missing. You talking about something? Man, you talking about something that will set you back. And, you know, she never got off the bus. And, you know, just was something that sent us through, I mean, just turned our world upside down. And eventually, you know, they let her off here in Homewood, and nobody was there at the house. And she had sense enough to be able to go to the YMCA. And she was over there. But you're talking about something that will cause you to lose your mind up in here. Just when I thought it could get no worse. But you know, like I said, the joy of the Lord is still there. God's joy is not dependent on our circumstances. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse situations. When different problems arise in your life, and as my daughter called and my wife and I, we were on our way out to Murrysville, we just stopped right there, pulled the car over on the side of the road and said, Lord, we have no idea where she's at. But Lord, you know. You know, Lord. And we just pray right now, God, with all that's in our heart, all that's in us, Lord, that wherever she's at, that you would just watch over her and that you would protect her. See, it's good to know that you got somebody to turn to. In the time when you can't get to your child like you want to, in the time when situations are beyond your control, it's good to know that you have a God who sits high and walks low. It's good to know that you have a God whose eye is on the sparrow. It's good to know that you have a God that says, I know the very hair when it falls off of your head. It's good to know that you have a God that says that he beholds the evil and the good that runs out throughout the earth. Oh, it's good to know. And when you turn to God in times like that, it might shake your emotions, but praise God, it can't shake your joy. Because this joy that I'm talking about is a deep-rooted joy. Somebody said if there's no joy in your religion, then that means that you've got a leak in your faith. That you've got to go back and you've got to look and examine yourself and see where you are in your faith, because this joy that we have is a joy that's not, that God says, don't let it ever leave your heart. Oh, you might get frustrated, you might get discouraged, but there still should be a deep abiding joy within your heart. And that's what I like about the book of Philippians. You know, as you think about people who had to experience difficult times, I think of many individuals. Franny Crosby, she wrote over 8,000 hymns. She wrote songs like, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, Write on My Heart Every Word. She wrote, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. She wrote, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done. But she was blind from birth. And as she dealt with her blindness, when she was 8 years old, she wrote this poem. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world I will content be. How many blessings I enjoy, other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. Wow. Blind and still able to have the joy of the Lord in her heart. Her joy was not dependent on her circumstances. See, if joy is dependent upon your circumstances, then it's not in, there's no joy in unbelief, because Voltaire, who was an infidel and one of the most pronounced infidels, he wrote, I wish I had never been born. Joy is not in pleasure. Lord Byron lived the life of pleasure more than anyone else, and he wrote, The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. Joy is not in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. And when he was dying, he said, I suppose that I'm the most miserable man on earth. It's not in position or fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more of this than anybody that has ever come before him. And yet and still he wrote, youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, and old age is regret. It's not in military might. Alexander the Great conquered the then known world, and having done so, when he was finished, he wept and he said, there are no more worlds to conquer. You can't find joy in this world. You can't find joy in this life. And I'm here to tell you today that the only true joy that you can find is in Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. You can find happiness in the world. You can find folk to sit around and laugh and joke. You can sit around and have people to tell stories with. You can find sitcoms to sit around and look at and laugh. You can find all kinds of things to laugh at in this world. But you won't find joy in this world, because only joy can be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is trying to communicate in the book of Ephesians. If you pull out your notes this morning, let's just do a little teaching now and go through some introduction. First of all, who was the author of the book of Philippians? Let's get this background material out of the way. Who was the author? Well, this is probably one of the most undisputed books in the Bible, because it's very clear that Paul is the author of the book of Philippians. His name is mentioned in chapter 1 and verse 1. He gives his religious background in chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. And there are references made to his Roman imprisonment in 1:13 and 4:22. What is the date of this book? It's probably written during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. Now, Paul was in prison two times. See, you know, if Paul put a resume in at Bethany Baptist Church, or maybe any church, and it showed up on his resume that he was in jail twice, the pulpit committee would probably throw his application in the trash. But here we see, you know, what man throws in the trash, God treasures. And so Paul was in jail two times. Now, notice some distinction between Paul's two imprisonments. The first time that he was in prison, he lived in a rented house, and you can read that in the book of Acts. The second time he was in prison, he was kept possibly in a cold, dark dungeon. The first time he was in prison, he had many visitors. And the second time he was in prison, he had very few people. You remember he said over there, only Luke is with me. So he was by himself basically the second time. And the first imprisonment, he expected to be free. And we see that in Philippians. The second one, he said, the time of my departure is at hand, and I'm ready to be offered up. So he knew he was going to be executed the second time. So as we try to get a date, the date of the epistle of Philippians is probably somewhere 62 to 64 A.D. What was the purpose of the book? The purpose of this book is that Paul was writing for a couple of reasons. One was he was giving them an update on his situation. And as we go through the book, you'll see that. But he also was writing to thank them for their generous support. He took other opportunities to address conflicts in the church and also to warn them about false teaching. The city of Philippi. Philippi was a city in the eastern Macedonia in modern Greece. The city was founded in 6th century B.C., but it was overtaken by Philip of Macedonia, and this guy was the father of Alexander the Great. And so when he took the city over, he renamed it after himself. So that's how he got the name Philippi, because he conquered it and he named the city after himself. Another very interesting thing about the city of Philippi, unlike a lot of cities in that area, in 42 BC, Mark Antony and Octavian, who was later known as Augustus Caesar, combined to forces to defeat the armies of Brutus and Cassius, who were the ones that assassinated Julius Caesar at Philippi. So that's where they killed Julius Caesar, was at Philippi. Those of you who are historians, you know all this now. In celebration of the victory, Philippi was made a Roman colony. Thus, the inhabitants were entitled to the rights and privileges granted to those who lived in the cities of Italy. So that becomes very important. Okay, that becomes very important, especially as we go through the book of Philippians, when you see a lot of Jewish people that they didn't have the same rights and privileges as Roman citizens. But the people in Philippi had this privilege because they were in a city that had been conquered by individuals who gave them that authority. So that becomes very significant. The church at Philippi, some very interesting things that we have probably read all of our lives but never even considered. First of all, Paul founded the church on his second missionary journey. Paul was supernaturally led to the city by the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Spirit spoke to him and said, come on over here. We need help over here. And so Paul goes there to start this church. Upon Paul's first arrival in Philippi, he met a group of women outside the city by the side of a river instead of in a synagogue. Most of the places that they went, where would they go? The first place they would go would be to the synagogue, to start sharing a message. But there was no synagogue in Philippi. And many people believe that the reason there wasn't a synagogue there is because you had to have 10 Jewish males in order to form a synagogue, and there wasn't 10 Jewish males in the city. So that's why they were meeting by the river. While Paul was there, he led two individuals to Christ, Lydia in Acts chapter 16, and also the jailer. We talk about the Philippian jailer all the time. And then the Philippians played a significant role in supporting Paul's ministry. So as we get this background, we're going to get into some preaching here in a second. But I just wanted to get that so that we get a good foundation of this book. So we understand some of the history and we understand some things about the church. And probably two of the most faithful people in the church of Philippi were this lady named Lydia and also the Philippian jailer. And then an outline of the book of Philippians, we are to rejoice in the pleasure of living for Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We are to rejoice in the psyche of living for Christ. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to rejoice in the priority of living for Christ. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then we are to rejoice in the peace of living for Christ. And let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that's the outline of the book. Now let's begin to look at this whole theme called joy. This is the epistle of joy. Paul says in here, when you get in trouble, come out. Come out of that trouble. Come out of that trouble with your hands up in the air. That whenever difficult situations surround you and you come out on the other side, you need to come out praising God. It doesn't make any difference what you're going through, but you still need to have that praise in your heart. And the first thing he says here is that we can have joy in prayer. Joy in prayer. Look at chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul says here, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy. Paul said that when he prayed for folks, he prayed with joy. When he got down on his knees and he thought about the church at Philippi and he prayed for them, he had that joy in his heart. God has commanded us to pray. And my brothers and sisters, when you have the opportunity to pray, do you pray with joy? Or do you just come and you say, we got to pray today. I know some folks, they want you to hurry up and get done with the prayer so you can get on to something else. Man, Paul said, I take great joy in prayer. That whenever I hear about a prayer need, man, I get excited because it's another opportunity for me to be able to go into the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, and you know, I'm getting overwhelmed with this one verse, and I'm getting almost to the point of obsession with one verse in the Bible out of the 16th Psalm where David said, in his presence is fullness of joy. That whenever I come into the presence of God, that I am coming into a place where there's fullness of joy. And some folk, maybe that's why some people don't have joy. You know, walk around like a bulldog baptized in lemon juice. Walk around like you got a face that could advertise for an iodine bottle. You know, the skull and the crossbones. And you wonder where your joy is at. Where's the joy at? And you know, one of the reasons, let me say this. One of the reasons that people don't have joy is because they're not coming into the presence of the Lord. You can't come into the presence of God and not have joy in your life. When I realize who God is and I realize all that he's done for me, I like what Kurt Franklin said. It makes me wanna stomp, you know, makes me clap my hands, makes me wanna dance and stomp. When I come into his presence, there ought to be some excitement. There ought to be some joy. The Bible, you know, folk come into church. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He got excited. Oh, we're going to church today. Oh, man, we are going to be with the saints of God. They ought to be, see some, oh, man, you know, I don't want to see them folk down there. You know, I get tired of them. I get tired of church folk, you know. Church folk, man, they supposed to be different. You know, they just like to, I don't, you know what, man, see, that's not really a reflection on the church folk. Let me just fix this thing up for you. No matter how many problems you got with the church, all right, no matter how many problems you got with the church, church folk are not a reflection of your relationship with God. See, when I'm in the presence of God, and I got joy in my heart, nobody's going to take my joy away. You know, sometimes I would have great devotions and get up and from my devotion and have to go deal with four kids squabbling. And sometimes them can be some joy robbers. They ain't going to take your joy just like that. Snatch it up. But you see, if it's as we sang at the birthday party yesterday, deep, way down deep. Way down, deep down in my heart. I got it on, Mary. I see you smiling over there. All right. I got the joy. I got the joy of Jesus, and it's where? Deep down in my heart. See, when you've got joy, when you got joy in your heart, nobody can take that from you. Man, you might deal with some of the most difficult circumstances in life, but people can take your happiness. I can be out here with a group of people and we can be laughing and joking and having a good time, and then to come over here and something happened to me and all of a sudden all that laughing and stuff I did is gone. Smiled and the devil done slapped the smile off my face. See, he might be able to slap the smile off your face, but he can't slap the smile out of your heart. Because when you got that joy, it's deep down in there. And Paul said that when he came and he prayed, that he did it with joy, and you, because he was coming into God's presence. And you know, that's a place where there's peace and safety and joy. He said, there's also joy in suffering. Wow. Joy in suffering. You mean to tell me what I'm going through?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Introduction to the Book of Philippians. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Introduction to the Book of Philippians, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to the Book of Philippians. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to the Book of Philippians. Or call us at 877- 831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can anchor in the Lord.